always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Because if you're... Yeah, like if you're taking tanking away, that makes it that much more difficult to get like the rosters that OKC or San Antonio have. And then if you make it impossible to spend enough to employ a super team, you're putting a ceiling on the league. So you're forcing everybody into the middle. That's what they're doing. Huh. All right. Well, great. But anyway, yeah, like if you're Milwaukee, do you just take the deal that gets you to the middle that much faster? And then you just play the odds game while you take in mid-tier revenue. Maybe. I don't know. The Lakers package would basically... Like incentive to taking the Lakers offer is this teardown rebuild. And maybe this makes it less likely that the Lakers get Giannis. Look, the ripple effect of this is going to be really difficult to figure out. I'm going to have to sit on this one and talk to some people too, but yeah, I, as I've just kind of been talking this out over the course of the pod, the point of all of this is to get everybody to the middle. And it, that's annoying. Let's jump in the chat. I'm really annoyed at myself for it taking me so long to figure out that like all Adam Silver has been operating towards is like driving up revenue for a mediocre league. That's what it is. Huh. Stupid me. All right, let's dive into some of your guys's questions and comments. Chris Ma 94, Silver let the Spurs create a dynasty, then banned everyone else from following the same process. I've seen this take a lot of places, and I don't even necessarily disagree with it, but like the line did need to be drawn somewhere. The tanking was really bad this year. And now we could say that it was really bad this year because it's a historically great draft next year. Although, like, this historically great draft doesn't have any prospects on the level of, like, LeBron or Wemby. It's just, like, a lot of really good players who are out there. But, like, the tanking got really bad, and it's gotten really bad over the years where, like, Utah is intentionally benching good players towards the end of their game to lose games on purpose. I don't see the difference between that approach and the stuff that got guys thrown out of the league for throwing games for, you know, like I don't see the difference there. And so like the tanking had gotten really bad in the league, and Adam Silver decided, all right, you guys forced our hand. We are drawing the line. And now, unfortunately, that now means that that is not a pathway that everybody else can take or anyone else can take from here on out, or at least for the next 3 years. But yeah, like, you know, I do empathize with Silver in the regard that something needed to be done. I don't think that it would be my top priority right now in the ways that it clearly is with Silver now. And I would be annoyed if I were a small market team that now has to compete with this freaking juggernaut of a young core that the Spurs put together, largely with the help of the league rigging their lotteries so many times over the years. But like, yeah, I saw Utah fans like getting angry at the fact that they were fined last year for not playing players. And it's like, you know, how dare you set the precedent with us? And it's like the precedent needed to be set somewhere, and you guys were doing it obviously enough that like people caught on and you guys got fined. And I think here with the Spurs, everybody else got so bad and so blatant with this stuff that the league finally stepped in and said, all right, we're not doing any more of this. This is no longer, or we're going to try to make it that much harder for you to do that. And again, like I think at the end of the day, the intended consequence, now there are going to be unintended consequence, but the intended consequence is that everybody has roughly similar levels of talent in this, you know, flattened world that will oscillate a little bit. You'll have teams that are bad over here and you'll have teams that are good up here, and it'll be very amoebic, and teams, I think, like rebuilds are going to take a lot less time in this, you know, in this, in the CBA world, in, you know, in the apron world, and in a world without tanking. I think, like you won't see situations like the Wizards where they have just been so bad for so long. The NBA wanted to do away with that. And basically the way that they're doing away with it is trying to shorten that gap of like how far a rebuild needs to go before a team becomes watchable or competitive. And, you know, getting rid of tanking and putting basically a hard cap on the league, that forces everybody into this grouping in here. And now what that, where I will say, like, as a fan of the Dodgers, who is hoping that the Lakers can operate at the same level organizationally, if everybody is kind of forced into this box here, that forces the Dodgers to, you know, that the Dodgers leadership to operate in a completely different world and a far more competitive world. But it also, like, if they do get good enough at some of the margins or whatever, maybe, just maybe, the Lakers, you know, they might be able to stay relevant for longer stretches of time than they have since Dr. Buss died. But yeah, I get the point here, Chris. I just think that the league needed to you know, draw the line somewhere, and it happened to be after the Spurs built a really effing good team. My counter also on top of that, Chris, like really quickly, if I could go back to that comment or whatever, is that, like, with how punitive these cap rules are, it's going to be really difficult for the Spurs to keep that young core together for very long. And like, I don't think we're heading towards a dynastic run from the Spurs here. I think you're probably looking at, you know, a really good window here for the next couple to few years. And then that team's going to get really expensive. And, you know, maybe another lottery will be rigged for them to keep them afloat. But I think you're probably looking at, like, even Oklahoma City, right? Like, everybody was saying how, oh God, like, this team is this juggernaut. They're going to be this good for the next decade or whatever. And then the Spurs pop up and it's like, wait, are the Spurs the dynasty? And if you're asking, like, it's the age old cliche, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. If you have two dynasties, that means you don't have one. And so I think that's what we're looking at here in the West. And I think, you know, everybody becoming a lot more mediocre and matchups mattering a lot more. That's the league that we're heading towards. Let's see. The what? I am not answering that one. Yeah, user KM4WK, Adam Silver's comments on the Pat Mac show shows he's not going to do shit about flopping. I would agree. He followed this up, or this user followed it up. Pat should have told him, I thought there was a rule in 2021 that the league was going to fine them when flops happen. That rule, like, never went away. It's technically still there, but it's never used, because that would involve getting in the NBPA's face, and Adam doesn't really want to do that. But yeah, like, I'm hoping that, like, we don't have too long of Silver, and I'm hoping whoever his successor might be understands kind of the revenue that the league is leaving on the table by way of being a little less watchable because of all the flopping. But you know, until we get to that time, it's become abundantly clear that like Adam just doesn't care. Let's see. excuse me. Sorry. John Ledesma, a longtime supporter of the show. Thanks, Johnny. Talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo injuries and how he never seems to be healthy in the postseason. That's a big red flag if the Lakers are going to mortgage their entire future for him. Well, for one thing, like if tanking, these anti-tanking measures are going to be that stringent, then you're not really, you know, gambling that great of a future. Now, the injuries are a real concern, and heading into a season with a core of basically Giannis, who hasn't been able to get through a postseason healthy in a while, Luka, who has either been compromised or outright missed two straight postseasons, and Austin, who clearly broke down under the burden of high usage rates over the course of the season. Like, if that is your core, then I'm nervous. But the like, I guess my retort would be, I don't know of very many cores that aren't particularly injury prone. Like Jalen Williams in OKC. Like, are you like, they aren't always going to be this deep, I don't think. And if he misses like another postseason with all of the things that he's had going on, like what does that team look like? Even the Spurs, right? Like the Spurs have to be hyper cautious with Wemby, with his minutes allotment and with how hard they let him play and how frequently they let him play in the regular season, that like he's always, I think, going to be an injury concern. Like, look at Denver, right? They haven't had Aaron Gordon the last couple of postseasons, and that has ended. Like, injuries, I just don't think it's not that I'm here saying that like you shouldn't take injuries into account at all. But if the Lakers can get Giannis basically for cap space and a few picks, then that value is just so incredible that I'm just like, all right, go for it. Like, it's funny. I'm putting together one of those golf sim bays in my garage. And I was looking at the Skytrack models, and without getting into the weeds, there's like the OG basic Skytrack model. There is the Skytrack Plus, and then there's this new one that they just released, which is like the Skytrack ST Max, I think is what it's called. And the difference between the Plus and the ST Max is like negligible. And it is, and the ST Max is like $1,300 more than the Plus, which is like $1,300 more than the OG. And so I, being cheap, went out and originally bought, it was on sale, I bought the original Skytrack model for like, I think it was $599. And I'm just about ready to start like actually building the thing. Like, I had to build a shed and I had to like build some shelves in the garage to get stuff off of the ground to clear the space to be able to build this thing. I'm finally ready to do it. And then I'm on Marketplace the other day and I saw the Plus for $850. It's like the Plus and a few accessories and like, very importantly, this like metal casing that you have in case you shank it and you hit the machine. And at that point, like with it being, you know, because after tax, the original one that I have, which is quite a bit worse than the Plus model, like that is, you know, with the original being like $700 and the Plus that I'm getting from Marketplace, there's like $100 difference there. It's like, all right, I have to. And that's kind of how I'm looking at Giannis. It's like, all right, if you're telling me that, like, you know, the cap space that the Lakers have can maybe get me like Walker Kessler and a couple other like solid rotation players, but for like basically the same cap space, I could go out and get Giannis. Yeah, sign me up, you know, and you know, it's still more expensive, just like the plus model was for those Skytrax things. But like, I'm still looking at this like, wait, so you're telling me for just like a few picks and like no current NBA talent, basically, that I can get Giannis Antetokounmpo? Like, that gamble to me is just such a clear value opportunity. And now look, like, as happens in gambling, sometimes you go all in and you lose, right? And in this case, you go all in and Giannis winds up hurt and you walk away from it saying like, shit, why did I do that? But then like afterward, at least then, like we see that the Lakers went for it, you know, and it's like I told Pete the other day, like I still remember days from or stories from, you know, playing blackjack where I got dealt three straight aces and split and doubled all of them and had just a stupid amount of money on the table. And I still remember like the table's reaction on each of those hands that were thrown down by the dealer. And like that was a lot more fun than had I just been like, just hit me on the two aces. Like, that's essentially what the Lakers are walking into here. And I, you know, maybe to my own detriment sometimes, I'm a gambler. All right. Let's see. I think this is fair, Wesley. This is actually a pretty good retort to my issues with flopping. Officials never want to admit fault. Flopping calls were never going to be adhered to. I think there's something to it, though. We have seen officials overturn their calls if it's become obvious enough. But I think even here, though, if I was an official and I saw some guy like really trying to take advantage of me, you know, by just falling down and trying to fool me, I would actually take offense to it. I was hoping that this would eventually be one of the ways that the league could kind of police itself. Like I saw the other day, I'm not supporting this decision from Wemby, but Wemby, like as he was walking off of the court, right? You guys saw that clip of Wemby, you know, kind of leaning over to Bismack Biyombo and to Mason Plumlee as they were walking onto the court. He whispers something, and then immediately both those guys hit Jared McCain pretty hard. I'm not saying goonery is advised or whatever, but that's one of the ways that a sport kind of polices itself. Is like, all right, here, ref, ready? That's a foul, you know? Like, that happened all the time in the basketball that I grew up watching. You know, like the Bill Simmons wrote about that.
Do I have my book of basketball?
Nope. I don't think I do. But Bill Simmons tells a story of Dave Cowens where he picked up five fouls that he considered were kind of tic-tac. And then on the sixth one, he intentionally just lays out somebody. And as he's walking off of the court, he tells the referee, see, that's a foul. You know, and I think if I were playing against OKC and I employed somebody like Bismack Biyombo and Shea spent so much time falling and twerking for fouls, eventually I'd be like, ready? You ready? Or especially against like Lou Dort, right? Who does so much dirty stuff. Like eventually the league kind of polices itself. And like I was hoping that the officials at some point would start to police flopping by way of like we see this sometimes with Luka, where if he starts getting a little too grifty, the referee will like call the foul, but they won't call it a shooting foul. And like, I'm all right, if you're going to do that with Luka, and if that's how you're going to police flopping and grifting, okay, like fine. I actually don't hate it, but you got to treat every player that way. You got to treat every grift that way. You got to treat every team that way as officials treat the Lakers. And I just don't think we've seen it play out that way. It's been kind of a bummer. All right. I am going to go ahead and jump out here. It has been an hour and I have to cook dinner for the fam. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube, so you get the notifications for the show. Today's show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and make a $5 lineup and you'll get $50 worth of lineups from Prize Picks. And then, make sure you guys are subscribed to the show in podcast form. Still debating an episode tomorrow. I have some stuff that I got to do around the house in preparation for a really busy week here coming up. So if I see you tomorrow, I'll see you tomorrow. If not, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you on Sunday.